And good evening. Welcome into Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman along with the coach Fred Smith. And it is now time for a little cheer talk. You got your cheer outfit on, Fred. You didn't know. Otherwise, you would have been in. If you'd have known it was cheer tonight, you'd have come off prepared with your cheer dance outfit.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I sure am proud of them. The way that squad showed up on a Tuesday at Adrian College, was awesome, to support the Saints. I did talk to one of the women's coach, and I got him thinking we ought to have this game on Monday. We'd have 300 to 400 more students there, and it would be a lot better atmosphere. And I think I got him on, so hopefully we'll get that change.
So, yes, we have head coach Liz Teague with us here tonight. Liz, welcome.
Hello,
back inside
thank you.
The cave. And Zoe, what's your last name again?
Marshall.
Zoe Marshall. She's from Hopkins. What's their mascot?
Vikings,
that's what I thought. Royal blue and white.
That's right. So, yeah, right. Good memory.
We had a test the other day. Actually, somebody was in, John Roberts, one of our other partners here. He's so good at mascots and stuff. So somebody was quizzing him. So him and I always battle on different teams and schools and mascots and all that. But so as Coach was talking the other night, you showed up at Adrian College at the Maryland Sport and Fitness for the boys and girls games over there. So that was probably a nice surprise for some people.
Yeah, so it's kind of a tradition for us to attend those games. Obviously, it might be a little bit scarce because it's right before break.
Right.
So we only had actually a handful of students that had already went home, so we still had a really good turnout. There was still like 40 of my athletes there in attendance of the game.
Yeah, that's good, though.
And I know Coach has got her, her best bet as good a half here with them tonight. And also coaches with them, and they are quite a dynamic duo. I have to say, this is somebody that's a retired AD. When we, and I've said this on the air before, Angie, our mayor, Schwartz, started this whole thing.
Right.
And did such an unbelievable job. And we all loved Angie, and she carried that spirit banner around the campus with mascot and everything else. And when we lost her, everybody go, what are we going to do? And she has to be so proud, because these guys have taken the program to an even higher level. And I mean that out of respect to Angie, who started from nothing.
Yeah.
That I'm just so proud of these guys and what they've done for the school. And you never know when you hire somebody.
Right.
And you gotta say, you just better be lucky than good. You're lucky and she's good.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about that is, too, is, I mean, you had the history here. You kind of knew what the program was about.
Yes.
And you knew what kind of, definitely what Angie's thoughts were and how this program was supposed to be and wanted it to be. And you were able to take that and kind of, as Coach said, to another level now. But I think, I don't know if somebody that would walk in that wasn't part of the program prior would do the same. That was, you wanted to make it and make it even better because you knew where it started and where it got to, and that's a thing. I know, Coach, when you talk about hiring somebody and bringing somebody in, sometimes if they don't have the knowledge and the history of the program, you don't know what's going to happen with it too. And that's, great for the two of you, especially, to be able to kind of take it to that next level.
Yeah. I mean, and Siena's like a second home to us. So, I went there for undergrad, my master's. I was the graduate assistant coach, and now I'm the head coach. So it was second nature to take over, honestly, and learning from Angie and all the other coaches at Siena were very helpful in the areas that I didn't know about. So it's just been great. We're just trying to get back on track to be a consistent nationally ranked team, and I feel that we're doing that a little sooner than my goal was, so I'm extremely proud and happy.
And sometimes it's hard to coach when you take over for somebody that's pretty successful, right? Some people are shy away from that. And what Coach has done is not only brought in all those positive elements of culture and tradition of the old program, she's taken it in her direction. And that's what good coaches do. It's not easy to do that. You know, ask Ryan Day, you know. I mean, you can you never can satisfy everybody. But in this case, you know, I'm excited to hear today about, you know, because now we're getting into actually cheer season.
Right.
You know, they've been cheering and doing a lot of, you know, sideline stuff. But now we're getting into what they really love.
Yeah, and you said, though, they went out, you know, the other night to the basketball game to be able to cheer on both squads and to two wins, which was nice as well. And that's got to be nice for you guys. And I know for the coaching staffs probably of the supportive teams as well. I mean, everybody, you know, likes to work hand in hand, and you probably want a little more gym time. It makes it nice, too. They can go. Remember that time we were supporting you guys?
Yes.
We want to get in here and do some things, too.
Yes.
So, but it is nice, though, to be able, a small community, a small campus, to be able to work together.
Oh, for sure. And it's so nice, too, because sometimes I feel that some of our students don't see the appreciation we get. And then, I get random emails and text messages from other coaches of the games that we attend. And I share that with them and so that they do see, like, hey, these guys appreciate us being there. And it's a different vibe. It's a different energy. We can use it as another practice, too. So,
right.
You know, there's a lot of different outlets and ways to look at it. So, you know, we are the face of Siena, and we need to represent where we can.
Yeah, and again, season's coming up, but you did sideline for football.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
then you do how many other basketball will you do quite a few more, or how does that work, especially with now that season's starting for you?
Yeah, so we actually have enough individuals to have a separate basketball sideline team.
Oh, nice.
Yep, so there's about 14 of them on the team, actually, so it's a really nice size squad. So they'll be at all of the games where it's men and women's playing home. So I think that's about 9 more games off the top of my head.
Doubleheaders, yeah.
Yep. And then I'll have everyone back when we do the pink game in February, because we all like to support for that cause and whatnot. But now that we're in competitive season, we just focus on that. I mean, we have a scrimmage coming up January 11th, so we only have, like, I'm going to scare Zoe here, like 5 more practices until break, and then we come back, and it's like, boom, here go we
time.
Go.
So how long... I'm so out of it. When is school done?
So they are done December 13th, I think, is the last day of finals.
And so do you keep them do you have them come back early?
Yep, so we'll come back. I actually just sent that to Sue today. We are looking to come back January 2nd to have them move in.
Right.
And then we'll have like 3-day practices up until classes start back to have our regular schedule.
So,
again.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, so that, see, Wildcat weekend at Indiana Wesleyan coming up on the 17th is your first. So who do you have the scrimmage with on the 11th?
So there's going to be several different teams. I'm not sure who is all signed up for that yet, but it will be hosted at Concordia.
Oh, okay. So it's not too far away then.
No. We've actually been doing scrimmages there. I think this will be our 3rd year. And I definitely think it helps prepare us for the season because we're not scored for our season average.
Right.
But we get all of the feedback from the officials. So we know what we need to fix before we actually start going in.
Yeah, and that's what you see that in all sports, certainly those exhibitions, preseason game, whatever you want to call it, scrimmages, we all need their dress rehearsals.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Concordia, which is sad, you know, not sad in that they've been great competition.
Yes,
and
they have.
We've been at each other, but it's kind of sad to see them leave the scene.
Yes.
As they have been a good rival, and
absolutely.
So, so what does it look like within the conference, Coach? How many teams actually do cheer?
So we are adding a couple teams this year. Actually, I'm not sure if they're declaring to compete, but they will have a season. So,
right.
Aquinas Concordia, Cornerstone is new. Defiance is
good.
New. Lawrence Tech, but they're actually not competing this year for cheer. Then we have Lourdes, Madonna, Rochester Christian, and us.
Wow. Do I know in dance? I think maybe. Do we have anybody in the Crossroads that comes and is in our league? Like some of the sports like lacrosse and whatnot, we have where they don't sponsor the sports, so we don't have any Crossroad teams.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
Well, since Concordia's not going to be around, you're going to take over that scrimmage then and have it at home so that way you don't have to travel?
They
all my assistant coaches want to do that. I don't think there's any way around it now. But it brings good publicity to the school. You know, it allows a lot of our parents to travel to certain places that they typically can't. So for some reason, though, these guys are more nervous to compete at home than anywhere else. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes it's always a little harder, you know. And I don't want to say harder at home, you know. And sometimes it's good to be on the road. You never know in that stuff. But I do know this, that the gym availability is always an issue over at the, with the 26, 27 sports.
Right.
But the programs that you've had, and cheer, obviously used to be cheer dance.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're separate. They were as big a crowds as we would have, I tell everybody, other than football. I thought they even outdrew our basketball teams. Definitely, it's really amazing. So this stunt thing that you guys have started, I don't mean to ask stunt thing because I really don't know much about it. So I don't mean, I'm just not smart. I'm not being belittling. I don't know. Is that going to be a thing this year or in our league or in our conference?
Yeah, so it's a little different. So they don't, we're not a conference in the WAC. We have a separate conference.
So we don't have a lot of stunt teams then?
No, because in our area right now, stunt is an emerging sport. So we're up and coming. We only have, I think there's five of us total who are in a conference that we have to play each other. But stunt is a spring sport. So our
That's a spring sport.
Yeah. So we'll be back. We'll be back to talk about that.
So right now, because I'm looking at your roster too, so you do have, you know, sideline and competition. So do you have some that come in that just really only want to be sideline?
Yeah, actually. We have tryouts for the competitive team and the stunt team. We kind of have an idea when we're recruiting people where they're going to fall, but then we give them the opportunity to try out, and some of them are just like, hey, like, I just want to cheer. So then they just don't try out. But it's nice because, like I said, now we're up to 14 ladies who are just able to attend those basketball games, so then I don't have to kind of split up my competitive team and my stunt team to also go to those games.
Yeah, and it's got to be nice, too. Then you can really focus, you know, the ones that are on the competitive team to focus on that and what you're doing there and not worry about the sideline cheers and, oh, shoot, Tuesday night, we got this. We have to go do it.
Yeah, and luckily I have an army of a staff. So, like, sometimes we all can't be at the same game or competition or whatever that is, so we can kind of spread up and divide and conquer. So that's a blessing.
Before we talk about your staff, I kind of counted quickly, 27, 28 on the – roster online, and I know that some are identified as sideline or whatever, but I guess my actual question that I wanted to, so you say you have tryouts,
mm-hmm.
and then from there they find their way. Have you ever had a sideliner that's emerged into a competitive cheer?
I'd say more so the stunt side.
Is that right?
We've had a couple girls who just really night and day, and I just sat back and like kind of chuckled with them because I was like, they are showing up and doing what they need to do, and I for sure definitely thought, you know, a couple of them would have only been on the sideline, and then they are just blowing me away. There's a couple of them, which is awesome.
Now, Coach, where'd you go to high school again?
So I'm from Onsted.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. So, you know, when you
were Wildcat jersey over here.
Yes.
You know, if I'm around and I tune on a high school game, it used to be you'd hear the cheerleaders right
not
in the background,
anymore.
And now it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
You know, there you don't see any sideline cheer at the basketball games.
Very rarely. It's
very rarely.
The gyms are quiet compared to what they used to be like.
You know, where you'd hear that background noise and that. So your recruiting then is done at the events. Like, you know, I think Hudson's had a great team over the years.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of Hudson girls.
And, so is that season about the same time you play or you compete?
There's a little crossover there as far as like the competition season for high school. Most of them are done like January-ish.
Oh, so they're done earlier.
Yeah, so they get done like right when we're starting. And of course, you know, if they make it to districts, states, regionals, all that like prolongs their season and whatnot. But Onsted's already gearing up to get ready to compete here soon. We actually go and help as tumbling coaches there and Hudson. So
that's awesome. That is really good. That
yeah.
You're doing
that.
Yeah, and I wish more schools yes. would still have the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just, you know, we go to these gyms doing games and it's just the quietness. It's just, it's nice to have,
yeah.
you know, some of the sideline stuff. You do miss that.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of neat that you can have enough that really want to just do the sideline side. And I think part of it is, you know, not everyone wants to do as much and work as hard as,
yeah.
you know, they want to cheer. I want to be part of something like this, but do I really want to go through everything that you have to do to be on the competitive side?
Yeah.
Do you find that with some of them that are just like, I still want to be part of something, but I really don't want to have to do all of that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. sideline, we practice once a week. Competitive is 4 to 5 if we have a competition. We have weightlifting 2 days a week. So there's a lot more of time that I have of an expectation for those teams. And, you know, some of my sideline girls are definitely skilled enough to be on either stunt or competitive, but they're just like, you know, I just kind of want to slowly.
They don't want that commitment.
Yeah, you know, it just doesn't work with their schedule, but they still want to be a part of the team and whatnot, which, I mean, again, we appreciate because that was our goal, was to build separate teams. I mean, that was what Sue wanted us to do. And, you know, she was still a basketball coach. She's like, I want you guys here at all these games. And it was just really hard to do not having people who actually just wanted to do that. So right. it's a blessing.
So what talk about what your goals are for this year's team, and what is your outlook? Do they have any type of preseason, like they do in a lot of these sports? They do preseason rankings, or I don't know. Do they have that in cheer?
They don't really do that. For us, they might start doing that because yeah. we have formed a league within the WAC this year.
Really?
So that's going to be a little different. It's kind of like how bowling has right. like their tournament, so it's going to be based off of, you know, wherever we're at sixth place, we get these points, where at first we get these
yeah,
points.
Gotcha.
So that's going to be a little different this year, so I'm curious to see how that's going to pan out, what that's going to look like. So that's going to be a little different, a little new, some more things for Anthony to track on an Excel sheet.
right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. They have big goals. So we'll see where we can get there. I mean, my goal every year is to, you know, break the school record year after year.
Right, right.
We started that tradition, and I'm really excited. And for some reason, it always just so happens to be at Indiana Wesleyan, and that one's coming up really quick.
Oh, wow.
So our goal is to beat, in, what is it, 87.76 or one, something like that.
Whoa.
So that's the goal. I was like, I don't care if it's an 88.
Right.
I just want them to, you know, consistently score within those mid-80 ranges, because if we can do that, then we have a really good chance to make it to nationals and
gotcha.
Get that bid.
Gotcha.
If we don't win the WAC championship. So just really, I preach this to them all the time. Consistency is probably my favorite word to use with them, and just be better than we were at our last competition, and just continue to grow as a team. And when we have fun, we do better. And
right.
so just allowing them to kind of understand, like, let's just have fun because you're going to go out and do the thing versus, you know, going out with nerves.
Right. Well, we're going to take a time out and come back and talk with Zoe, talk with one of the actual team members, and see what she has to say. Hopefully all good things about Coach Teague, but we'll be back with more right after this on Saint Sports Weekly, brought to you by CNIH University right here, 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
She got pretty high.
Who would we be without you? Thank you for your compassion, knowledge, and commitment to our health. Did you know Siena Heights University offers flexible continued education for nurses? Through our online program, an RN interested in specialization, leadership, or a pathway to an advanced practice can pursue a master's degree. The online RN to MSN program offers 7-week sessions you can fit into your schedule. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at sienaheights.edu.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. A Catholic university located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting sienaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Looking to move your career forward? By going back to school, you're investing in your future, and Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan wants to help you. We know you're busy. From raising a family to building a career, you may not have much free time available. From associates to bachelor's to master's degrees, our classes are designed so you can work and manage home life while earning your degree. Let Siena Heights University help you take the next step. Learn more at siennaheights.edu. Again, that's siennaheights.edu.
Nurses, where would we be without you? Thank you for your compassion, knowledge, and commitment to our health. Did you know Siena Heights University offers flexible continued education for nurses? Through our online program, an RN interested in specialization, leadership, or a pathway to an advanced practice can pursue a master's degree. The online RN to MSN program offers 7-week sessions you can fit into your schedule. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at siennaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at siennaheights.edu. Again, that's siennaheights.edu.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back, Saints Sports Weekly here on 965 The Cave, 965thecave.com. Jeff Bowman, Coach Fred Smith, and we're talking a little cheer tonight, and we talked with Coach Teague first. Now we're going to bring in Zoe Marshall, one of the competitive cheer team members. Zoe, good to have you inside the Cave Studios with us here tonight. And so you're a Hopkins Viking.
I am.
So how did you get to Siena Heights?
So, it all started, Anthony here, Coach Anthony, reached out to me. He found my Instagram page. I had a cheer Instagram page, and he was the one kind of running it at the time, and he had reached out to me and gave me some tips and stuff, because I was asking for feedback on tumbling and stunting and things like that, and he DM'd me and gave me some tips, and then he said, Sienna's watching, and I, to be honest, I kind of just, like, you know, went by it, whatever. I was like, whatever. It's just one of those colleges reaching out again, you know. And so I actually signed up to go cheer at Grand Valley State University in Allendale, Michigan.
Right.
I just wasn't feeling it, and things kind of just, something wasn't right. And I just had a feeling, and I remember reaching back out, and I DM'd back, and I said, is it too late? And I got a text back saying, no, it's not too late. So I ended up coming to Siena for a tour and a practice, and I absolutely loved it, and I ended up committing the next day, and I had, 3 days to move in, I think, living 2.5 hours away. So it just felt right. It just felt like it needed to happen, so it happened.
I'd agree. So academically, what were you thinking about it, either at Grand Valley and now at Siena, and what are you doing?
Yeah, so at Grand Valley, I was going to study education, right. And my plan was always to do early childhood education.
Gotcha.
And, you know, Grand Valley's a really big school. There's big expectations. You know, it's different. But when I really looked at Siena, I was like, you know, it's smaller. And I talked to a lot of people on campus and a lot of the girls when I came to practice. And they were like, yeah, the classes are really small. The education program's great. And I really wanted a school where I could feel close with everyone, professors, teammates, coaches, you know, all of the above. And so I was really excited knowing that I could come to Siena being academically successful.
So you've started on the education track. You're a sophomore, right?
Yes, I'm a sophomore.
So yep. And I know you don't really get there right away, but right. Is that where you're at right now, looking at early childhood still?
Yep, okay. Still studying early childhood.
Well, I think, you know, actually I had a conversation with somebody this morning about going to bigger schools, and especially being from a smaller school.
Right.
You know, and getting there and going, is this really where I want to be? And,
right.
And do I fit in like this? And
right.
So, you know, I think that, being from a, you know, I know Hopkins is not a big community, big school.
Small,
so
yep.
Getting into somewhere like Siena where it's a little bit more of a community, that probably is more what you were probably used to, too.
Yeah, yep, for sure. I always grew up, you know, around small community, around, you know, not a lot of people. And so when I first committed to Grand Valley, I was like, wow, this is really going to be like a big thing for me, you know, being around all these people. And there was like over like 1,000 freshmen, I think. And when I looked into Siena, I was like, you know, I think I'd feel more comfortable there. You know, I'm used to the small community. I'm used to, you know, knowing everybody. And so I was excited about that.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Grand Valley was very small.
Right.
but to watch it grow and surpass schools like Western Central in terms of size,
right.
You know, not surpass them in any way. Sorry, Central, Western grads. All you guys are great. But getting back to you. When did your interest in cheer start as a young athlete?
So my first ever year of cheer was when I was in like third grade, I think.
Wow.
And I did it for a year, and I had been a competitive dancer my entire life.
Ah.
And so dance kind of took over, you know, I couldn't really do both. And, you know, my mom and I, that was always something that we debated about, you know, like, is it cheer or is it dance? And well, it was dance my whole life. And then it became, I think I was in eighth grade, one of my best friends from middle school said, you should try out for the competitive cheer team. I said, what? You know, like, I had done dance my whole life. I was like, I don't know anything about cheer. I don't, you know, I don't even know what a toe touch is, you know. Like, and so we talked about it, and I was like, you know what, I'll do it. So I remember going home and telling my mom, I said, I just tried out for the competitive cheer team. And she said, what? Like, you're a dancer, you know, we don't know anything about cheer. And so that's when it really all started, and ever since then I had done cheer every year, and my love for it just grew and grew and grew, and now we're here. So,
well, the dance background obviously had to help a lot for what you're doing now.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, I danced ever since I was 3, so, you know, I'm able to pick up choreography pretty fast, and, you know, things kind of just click in my head, so I'm really thankful for that.
Can I ask you a question, like, so what is your role? What is your position? And what did you start out at, and what are you doing at Siena now?
So I'm a main base on our competitive team.
Okay.
Kind of like on the leadership side, I would say this year I was actually selected to be one of our family leaders by Coach Anthony, and I was really thankful for that. I really didn't even think about being selected for that this year at all, just because – you know, I came in really late last year, and there's so many people on our team. And but he had asked me, and I was really thankful for that. And I was just so blessed that Coach Liz and Coach Anthony really looked at me as a person like that. So.
Well, that's something we get Anthony here. We got to talk about that, you know, and how that has grown. I really would like to hear more about that.
So were you always a base?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I was side base for a little bit in middle school and high school, and then I switched to main base, so main base has kind of been my spot for quite a long time.
So being competitive cheer, with that, did you do anything other sports in high school?
Nope, just dance and cheer. That was pretty much it.
So talk about your first year and a year of adjustment for you. How was that?
So when I first came to Siena, I remember, to be like completely honest, my first week of school, I cried, I think, every single day, like 10 times a day. I remember like calling Coach Anthony, like, I can't do this. I can't, you know, this is a huge change, right? Being away, you know, everything is so fast going on, and things got better. honestly, I think Coach Anthony was really the one who, like, nailed me down, you know, got me into it. Being at practice, you know, I was scared showing up to practice. I was like, I don't know all these other 50 girls. I don't know these coaches, you know. And Coach Anthony was really always there for me, so that was really something that helped me to get through.
Well, that's one of the great things about when you go to a small school. I'm a product of two small colleges that I went to, and really your friends end up being your teammates, right? And I've seen that so much in my years as athletic director.
Yeah.
But it's getting through, we always say, we got to get our freshmen just to Christmas and then to the first year. Then they'll fall in love with the place. Then they'll figure it out. But early on, you know, I've told this story, so I've heard it, but I remember so years ago, well over 50 years ago, when I was dropped off. In my first couple of years, I was a basketball player at Northwood. I literally wanted to run after the car when they left me. I was that nervous.
Right.
And we think we were all, but you know what? It took a week or two, and it all. So it sounds like it happened to you. So when did it start smooth out for you? Was it before competition started, or was it or was it earlier in the fall?
I would say it probably took me a few months to really get comfortable. I would say I was definitely, like, terrified for the first, like, 2 weeks or so, but kind of as the weeks went on, you know, things got easier. I got used to my routine. My classes started, so everything started settling in. And, yeah, the routine was really what helped me a lot. And I just remember Coach Anthony always, like, texting me every week, being like, hey, how's it going? You know, are things okay? Do you need anything? So, like, really just knowing that somebody was there and, like, cared about me really helped me to, like, feel like I belonged and
That's awesome.
You have siblings as well that you're left back at home that you missed as
So I actually have three siblings back at home. Yeah. Yep. A 27-year-old, a 23-year-old, and a 17-year-old.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. So you're kind of in between then.
Yep. I'm right in the middle. Yep.
Now, Coach, you're here. Talk about your role in recruitment and when I say retention, but just keeping, how has that grown over the years?
Yeah, so, you know, starting out, it was definitely a one-person job, but as we have been expanding, it's definitely becoming a lot to handle as one person. But one of my big things is we're still a small enough school where I feel like every Saint or future Saint that comes should have their own personalized experience. And you know, every visit that I have, I make sure that they come, they solely come alone. I visit with them, I'm on tour with them, I'm connecting the dots of how their sport intertwines with Siena, and you know, make sure that everything is catered towards their interests. And and then once they become a student here, you know, really making sure that they are living that experience that they were hoping for throughout the tour and throughout the recruitment process.
So talk to me a little bit about this hierarchy, whatever you've been, what was it
called? Leadership?
Family system.
And how did that all come together?
Yeah, so we, you know, when we were on the team, we got Coach Danielle and Coach Liz here. We had kind of like a, almost like a fraternity, sorority type thing where it was like you had the big and littles. But as we started growing, it was a little too much. We had more incoming students than we had returners, so we couldn't pair them, you know, one-on-one. So we came up with the concept of creating families, where we selected, you know, some returners that we felt kind of were the core athletes, the champion of character, if you will, of our teams. And then we built a family around them. And we generally tried to randomize this family and make sure that this family is comprised of students that wouldn't necessarily navigate to each other. Every month we do team bonding, and it's that family head that kind of brings their family together. They, you know, if we go bowling, they're on a lane together as a family. If we go to the corn maze, they're doing that corn maze as a family. And then those returners that are leaders of the families, they'll create different group chats on social medias, make sure that their students are comfortable, they have someone to talk to. You know, your first step, if you're feeling uncomfortable, you go to your family head. Family heads will take it to captains. Captains will take it to assistant coaches and up to head coach.
And this is Anthony Teague, so we didn't introduce him. But this is
he's been an old man on this program.
Exactly.
We should have introduced him.
No, but, you know, and again, this, you know, Anthony and Liz are, you know, they got little Apollo with them here tonight. But you know, you guys were both on a team together. What is your story again? How did you get to Siena Heights, Anthony?
I was going to Baker College. I think we talked about this last time we were here. I was going to Baker College. My house had caught on fire. It was my best friend's mom, who was a Siena Heights alum, Miss Carol. She reached out and connected me with Siena. She helped me through the entire admissions process, took me to admissions, talked with them, told them my story. I was able to, you know, write a letter to Sister Peg and Mike Orlando, and they gave me a room grant so I could live on campus instead of, we were in an RV at the time.
Wow.
I moved into Siena, and that very day, I'm kind of like a Zoe, because that very day they're like, all right, we're moving in tomorrow, and admissions offered me a work study job. So I've been, you know, thankful to Siena and giving back since.
Where are you from originally?
Addison. So the other jersey on the other side of
the the other jersey. Okay.
Red and black, purple and gold.
Yeah. Right.
So how, being at Addison, obviously, you know, you weren't doing competitive cheer as a Panther. So how did competitive cheer come into your life?
Yeah, so
you saw Liz one day and said,
this is actually a funny story, because this was back when Fred was AD still. I was a wrestler. It was around our golden times at Addison, 4 years state champs.
Yeah, and you guys had a roll back in.
So I was really big into wrestling. I went to Siena, and I didn't plan on doing sports. I didn't do very well in high school, so I was like, I can't afford any distractions. And then, you know, 70% of the students are athletes, you know, 4 to 6. It's a dead zone on campus, and you're like, what do I do?
Yeah, right.
You know, I wanted to get a sport going, and cheer was starting up. And, you know, it's typical in high school. You see cheerleaders and wrestlers sharing the same space, sharing mats.
That's true.
You know, I knew that cheer was going to be taking over that bookstore space, and I was trying to – I went to Fred, actually, as a sophomore, and I'm like, I have the best idea. I know what I'm doing. Like, we're going to lose students to AC. Like, we have to get a wrestling program started. And he was like, you know, like, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, we have to start with a club, and we have to build funds that way. And I tried. I did the club thing. But, you know, you're a sophomore. You're trying to get people interested. It wasn't that easy without the backing, you know.
Right.
But, you know, at that point, I was like, well, if I can't beat him, I'm going to join him. So I went to Angie that summer. I said, hey, I like to flip. I like doing parkour. I was pretty crazy. And I said, I'll join your team, but I'm not doing any of that cheer stuff. I'll do flips for you. And she said, okay. And so I joined it and learned the stunting aspect and loved it since.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. I mean, actually, when I was in high school, my buddy and I did ballet just to flex build. And we went in, and two of them, we'll go through the whole thing. We're not doing the, at the end, no recital.
Yeah.
We're not there. We're not here to get better athletically.
Right.
So
right.
Was that safe type of thing. Yeah. I'll do this much.
Yeah.
I'm not going all the way with that.
You know, I just, it's always amazed me, and is the athleticism, when you go to these events, you know, and when you talked about dance, early on when I was AD, well, they liked it was cheer and dance. Now, you know, still, both are great, great sports, but the athleticism amazed me. But this whole idea that what you have done with building a kind of a hierarchy, it's almost like how many people build churches, you know, seriously. It's what a great idea. And I have to admit, as an old coach, I didn't mean, you know, they sink or swim, man, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I really love what you're trying to do. I think, and I hear Zoe talking about how honored she felt to be one of the leaders as a sophomore is half the battle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get people that really embrace it. So this helped our retention, you think?
Yeah, I believe so. I really think that, like, you know, our students being so close, you know, it just helps these students, like, you know, like when Zoe's having those struggles. I don't think we really had a strong family system back then at that point. But, like, this year we haven't really dealt with that as much. Is it like, you know, the students, they get this strong bond with each other, and it's like they help each other through everything. So,
Well, and I think one of the cool things that you mentioned, too, is really trying to find maybe the groups together as a family that wouldn't normally gravitate toward each other also, you know, to have that differences to really make people come together as well. So it's instead of having, you know, oh, we all know these people are going to kind of gravitate together. Yeah. Let's put them all together. No, let's make it a little maybe uncomfortable at first, because then you get really comfortable with each other because you can share your differences. Have you found that, Zoe, when you maybe some of the girls are like, I probably wouldn't be the first person I would have been friends with, but now I am.
Right, yeah. So when we first got our families, when we came on campus for this year, like Coach Anthony said, they try to randomize it, but I feel like that definitely helps because, like, you know, a lot of the freshmen come in, they don't know anybody, but when they're put with some of the returners, then, you know, they really start to build relationships through those families, and that's how we start to build bonds on our team.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
And that's part of growth, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Learning about other people.
And, right.
I just take my hat off. What a great idea.
Yeah.
And so we got into it a little bit with Coach about expectations. Zoe, from your standpoint, what do you think our team goals should be and how realistic do you think we can accomplish them?
Kind of like Coach Liz was saying, really her big goal is to, you know, get back on track to make it to nationals and things.
Right.
I think that's definitely something that we can do. You know, we're given a lot of rules that we have to follow and a lot of things that we need to do. And as long as everyone follows them, you know, like we have been, I think that's definitely something we
You're
can step to.
You're talking rules of the sport.
So, yeah, we have, like, workouts we have to do.
Yes.
There's certain stunts that we have to hit, certain tumbling that we have to do, you know, to, like, get the points
kinda
that
like
we need.
Kind of like the fundamentals, right?
Right, yep, everything that we need to make it to nationals.
Gotcha.
I want to make one point about Zoe because she's got a good backstory, and she fully understands what expectations are because last year, you know, she really wanted to be on the comp mat, and she just didn't have the skill set yet. And you know, there was a senior there that kind of was her and that senior were battling for the spot.
Right,
you know,
gotcha.
This year, Zoe has really, really stepped up and proven herself, and you know, she's made mat, and now she's a starter for us. So she can kind of talk a little bit about what the expectations were as far as that goes, and how she met that.
Yeah.
So really, kind of like Coach Anthony just said, last year it was me and a senior, you know, kind of battling out a spot. I ended up with her spot in the beginning, and then she ended up taking it back. And that really kind of lit a fire, you know, in my head. And I was like, okay, you know, if you want to be on mat, you got to work for it. You know, it's a collegiate sport.
And you got to get better.
Got to get better, you know, somehow, some way. And so I just remember every practice, you know, just working and working and working and working constantly, you know. And then this summer I came back and, you know, from what I've seen and what I feel, you know, I feel that I have more skills.
Right.
Things feel better. Things look better. And like Coach Anthony said, now that I'm a starter on mat, really just, you know, you have to set those expectations for yourself. You know, it's really, do you want it or not? So
what is the, is there an ideal size of a routine? You know, I mean, how many, I mean, I don't mean that. And how is it better to have more or less, or?
So this comes into the subjectivity of the sport a little bit. So, you know, head coach Liz has had the most success with running a smaller roster size, so roughly around 11 on mat. Yeah,
gotcha.
The moment you put 12 on mat, the standards go up. So we could get away with two stunt groups with 11. With 12 on the mat, they are expecting, you know, three stunt groups now, all doing the same thing. You know, we try to put 15 out this year. When we put 15 out, we need two pyramids. So it's like, we would love to have more numbers on the mat, but then we need to have
the more skill
the matching,
yes,
the synchronized skill set. And
that's
where we tell the students, it's like, we are not deciding who's on mat. You are.
Yeah.
You know, we start off with as many as we can, and then we start weeding out and dwindling the size as we feel is fit and is going to give us the cleanest, highest-scoring rubric.
So what are the breaks of how many on the mat?
Yeah, so the first break will be 8 to 11, then it's 12 to 15, and then 15 to 20.
Okay.
And, you know, we have our own mindset of, like, what those numbers mean to the judges, right? We definitely feel that teams that have the 15 range score higher. I mean, it's flashier. You're looking at all these people jumping around. They're doing skills, like the organized chaos on the mat, and it's a wow factor.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, about 30 points at the bottom of that rubric that they're scoring you on showmanship, choreography, energy, like all these different things, and that's where that kind of ambiguity and the subjectivity comes into play. And we feel when you have higher numbers, you're going to get higher points in those areas.
But you can also, on the flip side of that, when you get 15, if they're not all synchroed, if they're not doing this, you know, all the same stuff, then all of a sudden those points,
you got it.
You don't gain those extra that you would
gain
because you have 15.
Yep.
So it's kind of weighing that balance of where do we,
it's like a win or lose.
Yeah. How do we perform best? Can we, you know, we go in at 11 and shine, mm-hmm. that better than getting points taken away.
Yeah. And then more people you put on the mat, obviously that you're adding more variables of a foot could slip or another hand could touch down on a flip, you know. It's a lot of catch 22 type situations.
Yeah, that's interesting, Dolan.
It is. Well, we can take time out, and I got some questions come back to those when we get back from this break. But you're listening to Saint Sports Weekly. It is a cheer night here tonight inside the Cave Studios. So we'll be back with more right after this. 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Where would we be without you? Thank you for your compassion, knowledge, and commitment to our health. Did you know Siena Heights University offers flexible continued education for nurses? Through our online program, an RN interested in specialization, leadership, or a pathway to an advanced practice can pursue a master's degree. The online RN to MSN program offers 7-week sessions you can fit into your schedule. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at siennaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at siennaheights.edu. Again, that's siennaheights.edu.
Nurses, where would we be without you? Thank you for your compassion, knowledge, and commitment to our health. Did you know Siena Heights University offers flexible continued education for nurses? Through our online program, an RN interested in specialization, leadership, or a pathway to an advanced practice can pursue a master's degree. The online RN to MSN program offers 7-week sessions you can fit into your schedule. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at siennaheights.edu.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena, a Catholic university. Located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting siennaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Looking to move your career forward? By going back to school, you're investing in your future, and Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan wants to help you. We know you're busy. From raising a family to building a career, you may not have much free time available. From associates to bachelor's to master's degrees, our classes are designed so you can work and manage home life while earning your degree. Let Siena Heights University help you take the next step. Learn more at siennaheights.edu. Again, that's siennaheights.edu.
And welcome back inside the Cave Studios. Jeff Bowman, Coach Fred Smith with you here. Saint Sports Weekly brought to you by Siena Heights University. Thank you very much to them. And we're talking a little cheer tonight. And during the break, you know, one of my questions, I think we expanded on probably what I was going to talk about during the break. But one of my questions was going to be talking about, you know, the routines and how long it takes to put them in and stuff. But I think we even got off a little bit more on some of the scoring and how that works. And you talked about, you know, the breakdown of how many, but also the thing I didn't even think about that you talked about was, you know, male-female ratio on the floor. So if you, out of your 11 or, you know, 12 to 15, if you have X amount of guys versus girls, some of the skill sets are different and scoring-wise as well. So explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so mainly where it comes into play mostly is in the baskets. You know, when you have an all-guy group, you're able to get that additional height so you can start pulling out skills that would be more risky on a lower toss. So, you know, anytime you have three guys or more, they expect you to have a basket with those guys throwing a higher range of skills, so like your double fulls and your back tuck X twists. And then as far as like a male-to-female ratio, you cannot have more than 50% of your team being male. So you can have a guy-girl ratio, but at any point a guy goes over the number of girls, then you're out of your range for that. I would love to have three guys, so one flyer, but, you know, ideally that you're going to have 50-50 split.
So How many rounds are there in a competition?
So it's actually a full routine. So once you're on that mat, you're there from start to finish.
So it's not like high school where you have different, you know, like the three different rounds.
Yeah, it definitely creates a different dynamic because if a student doesn't do, I guess what you would probably consider travel cheer or all-star cheer, they're not used to that format. So getting, Michigan high school cheerleaders, we have to completely teach that every year brand new.
Yeah, because it's totally different then. Okay. So how long does it take to maybe, put together choreograph and put together a routine? And then with that, how long does it take to kind of master that? I mean, once you put it together and then to teach it and say, okay, we're going to have a competition X, how long prior working up to that do you really need to be able to make it where you want it at?
So, head coach, I even though she stresses about it, I feel she does a very beautiful job at this. So I'll split this half and half with Zoe. But from my perspective, because the format is pretty similar, you know you're going to have a section of two different stunts. You know you're going to have a section of baskets, pyramids, running, tumbling, standing, tumbling, jumps, and a dance. So you know you have those different categories. At that point, you're planning on which order you're going to put those categories in, and then you're looking at the rubric of what skills need to happen within those categories. So head coach does a really great job getting that together. Usually we spend a full day learning it. We get together around 8 a.m. and we're done around 3 p.m.
Like 3 or 4.
Yeah. But then as far as mastering it goes, I'll let Zoe talk a little bit about how that works.
So from an athlete's standpoint, it definitely takes, weeks upon weeks, maybe 2-3, sometimes 4 weeks to actually, get the routine going. Sometimes people get hurt, sometimes grades slip, things happen. Sometimes we have to change the routine, but, it really takes a while to get those stunts solidified and figure out tumbling and figure out the choreography and all the things to really bring together the entire 2.5 minute routine.
I'm trying to remember, back in the day when I was the AD, it seemed like you guys would do a routine and then you had a second. I don't know why I thought you were up there twice.
Oh, yeah. The way the format works at a competition, you get 6 minute floor time.
Okay.
So generally, depending on how the school is set up, a lot of people like to compete at Siena because we have all the gyms and we can create
stations. Yeah, the practice areas.
But if you went to a school like Concordia, they have a single gym floor. You're going to see all the teams warm up. You're going to see them all tumbling together. You're going to see them break out. Then you're going to watch a six-minute routine, basically where a coach has a window to say, all right, let's look at this section and see what this looks like. Or, if you're Siena, you're going to probably run it almost full out because we want to make sure that we get the students warmed up and ironed the kinks. So you almost see a half version of our routine where we might run everything full out and we'll say, do everything full out except for the running tumbling, or do everything full out except for the stunts and the pyramids, or whatever the case is. So, for a bystander, when you're looking at that, you're like, oh, they're competing right now.
Right.
But no, we're just kind of ironing out kinks before we go full out, because when you hit that mat and that timer starts, you have one chance to not ruin it. So we want to make sure that we try to get those kinks and those hiccups out in that 6 minute routine that we have that open window.
Well, and Zoe, you mentioned something that was interesting too about, whether, injuries or grades or whatever, having to slide somebody new in. And, so do you have kind of that, first team, second team, third team, or sliding in? Or do you have this routine or this part of it, but, if you go down, somebody else knows yours that might have to slide in from another spot? Or
so how it works is every year Coach Liz and Coach Anthony do bring alternates to the team. So alternates are, people that usually sit on the side, and kind of watch and observe.
Right.
They're if grades slip, you're in, or if someone gets hurt, you're in. So they kind of look at the alternates, especially as an alternate from last year. If someone needs to be plugged in, those are the people that they're going to look
right.
for. So we really try not to change the entire routine if we don't have to. So that's really where those alternates come in.
It's, I hate to compare it to football, but we saw this with Ohio State, for example. They lost their left tackle early in the year, and they couldn't replace him, so they moved their guard over to tackle, moved somebody else into guard.
Right.
Then they lost their center.
Right.
And so not that one size fits all, but right. they you probably have to know what you're going to do at left tackle as opposed to right guard, you know.
Right.
And
right.
so the alternates have to have a variety of skills, and they're just as important many times
right.
because
yeah.
Injuries and things happen.
They can be plugged in at any point in time,
wow.
so they really have to know what's going on and know the routine just as well as people on mat do.
Yeah, they got to pay attention.
Yeah,
I mean,
because
you never know when you're going
right.
to be called upon.
Never know.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, who's our biggest competition other than Concordia, you think, to get to, not only to a league championship, but to get to nationals?
I would say it's our neighbors in Ohio, Lords.
Lords, right down the road. Boy, oh boy,
yep.
that's a triangle.
Yeah, we were definitely, our scores were fairly close all season last year. We even took a win against Lords. We beat them at Lawrence Tech, which
yep.
was a very exciting time. That was the first time we beat the record high record.
That.
They're definitely when Concordia goes, it's going to be a battle. We're going to be clawing
it's
and scratching for that next
yep.
number one spot.
Right.
Yep.
So what does it take then to get to? How do you qualify for the national level?
Yeah, so head coach brought it up a little bit, but we have the league meets now. So there's going to be a scoring system, and whoever scores highest and wins that WAC bid will be getting that that national.
An automatic bid.
And then the at-larges are based on those scores.
Right.
Yeah. So throughout the season, it's very crucial that we score consistently because we get our average for every competition,
and then
we get ranked nationally.
Right.
So like last year, we were ranked, I think it was 18th in the nation.
Yep.
But really, if you're not in that top 10 bracket, I mean, most of those teams in that top 10 bracket are getting their automatic bid.
Right.
But then those little gaps there are who they're going to fill in with those at-large.
A bad day could really hurt you, is what you're saying.
Yep. Yeah. We have Coach Danielle here. She does a lot of our admin work, and she does a phenomenal job. But every competition, she's got to run the tapes, submit those tapes, declare, what we did, why we feel we should earn that at-large bid, what did we overcome, what could we have done better. So it's a lot of that in the background that she's really vetting for that committee as well.
It's really interesting. When I was AD, I know we got to get out of here, I couldn't believe, Jeff, how well the judges were fed, you see?
Yeah.
And I was AD, man. I hung around that judges room all the time, and now I know why.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I know that. My daughter was a gymnast all growing up, so I know how those things work with the rooms for the judges for their food and everything else. So, it's always been I know cheer. It's such a growing sport, and I think it's a well-needed sport. And I really applaud you guys on keeping up with the sideline as well, because I think that's an important part of, to me, athletic events, going to games, to have the support and have the cheerleaders there. And, it's to me, that's kind of what, with us growing up, Fred, and all that, that was part of, what the gym was like on a basketball game and stuff was that was part of the whole action and the whole activity was the cheerleaders being there as well. And I applaud that you guys are really doing such a job of making that happen and keeping that part going at Siena Heights.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing. And there's some students who, they want that sideline experience, and there's some students who do not make mat for comp or stunt. And we also utilize our sideline experience as a way to grow their skills so that they can achieve their goals as well. And,
mm-hmm.
It's been difficult with sideline, because head coach mentioned there's that respect level, and as cheer grows, a lot of these athletes, they want to be respected as an athlete.
That's right.
And they just don't feel like they get that same exact respect level with sideline, where we're not able to display everything that we're capable
of. Yeah, we're capable of doing.
So there's a little bit of that, but we definitely try to keep that energy of sideline going and saying like, hey, take this time. There's an audience here that wouldn't necessarily come to your competitions. Use this floor space to show them what you're, you're about. So.
Well, and I heard, we got to get out of here too, but I heard the term the other day and as a wrestler, and I remember growing up, they had mat maids. Cheerleaders on the side of, the wrestling mats and stuff and that. So it's an interesting thing. But again, appreciate your guys' time here. Liz and Anthony Teague and Zoe, thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can't
wait
to, as we meet later, talk about how you guys did.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it very much. Again, Saints Sports Weekly brought to you by Siena Heights right here. 965 The Cave, 965thecave.com.